Welcome back to our series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's year, we're going to study chapter 31, Perek Lamed Aleph, which in my opinion is one of the most beautiful chapters in Sefer Yirmiyahu, a perek in Yirmiyahu which every Jew should know by heart. When we start reading this perek, it should sound familiar to you because it's the haftarah that Chazal chose for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The reason why is because there's a famous pasuk from Zichronot towards the end of the chapter and the famous song of Kol Brahma Nishma about Rachel crying for her children. But when we study the perek, we'll see how powerful that imagery is and how this perek has not only provided comfort for Am Yisrael, but also given them hope that one day things will be better, and also has been the inspiration for generations like our own to endure through terrible times and give them direction to return to Israel, to rebuild the land, and strive to become that nation that God is hoping for. Anyone who studied Jewish history over the last 150 years, from the late 1800s till today, can easily understand why this perek has been key to building their hashkafah and seeing the hand of God behind events. So let's begin with not only the first pasuk, but a famous song. Pasuk Aleph. Kol mar Adonai, matzachin bamidbar am sridei charev, haloch l'argiyo Yisrael. God is describing what seems to be what happened in the desert when Am Yisrael came out of Egypt. Am sridei charev, a nation that survived the sword of Paro, found favor in God's eyes in the desert, and God went out to give them a place of rest. They suffered so much under Egyptian slavery. Those who survived found rest in the desert. And God, what's called Matzachin, usually the phrase is Matzachin Be'enai, the nation of Israel found favor in God's eyes. For example, Noach was Matzachin Be'enai Hashem. When a lot of people were destroyed and one person is singled out to be taken care of, that's what's called Matzachin. Now, is this talking about the past, when Am Yisrael was coming out of Egypt? Or is it talking about this present situation, when Am Yisrael was in exile and hoping to return? And if so, it would be a continuation of chapter 30, the Devot Nechama of chapter 30. Based on what we saw earlier in Yirmiyahu, there's no reason why it can't be both. Because recall that Yirmiyahu had said twice already that when redemption comes, people will no longer talk about the God who took Am Yisrael out of Egypt, but rather the God who took Am Yisrael back from all the lands from which they were dispersed. Furthermore, this whole concept of the need to go into exile as a type of rehabilitation, that is the exact same reason why God put us into Egypt to take us out, to help us become His nation, and applying the same logic and the same purpose, so too, our exile to Bavel, its purpose was rehabilitation, and therefore by comparing it and the redemption from that exile to what happened coming out of Egypt as preparation for getting the land of Israel, makes a lot of sense why the Navi would use the same imagery from coming out of Egypt as he's about to explain how we're going to come out of Galut Bavel. In Pasuk Bet, I'm going to explain like Radak, where he sees Pasuk Bet as a conversation between God and his people, as opposed to most English translations, which don't catch on to that. Pasuk Bet. Am Yisrael speaking now. Merachok Adonai Nirali. Am Yisrael is answering, that was a long time ago, when God gave us chesed and found us in the desert and saved us from our enemies. That sounded like a long time ago. Now, in Babylonian exile, it feels as though God left us all together. God answers back, Ba'avat olam avtich. My love for you is everlasting. It wasn't just a one-time affair with you coming out of Egypt, and it's over now. No, instead, that love was everlasting. My choice of you as a people will be forever. Alkein mishachti chesed. Therefore now, I'm going to make sure that you find grace in my eyes. It's very difficult to translate this phrase. Mimshoch is to pull. Chesed is kindness. God's going to pull a string of kindness and make sure He takes care of His people. If you remember this mirror that we sing on Friday night, in Kol Mekadei Shevi, goes by the alphabet, we sing there, Meshoch HaZdechal Yodecha, Kel Kanav Enokem. Lotrei Diyom HaShvi, Shomor V'Zachor Lahakem. They're the same idea, Meshoch HaZdechal Yodecha. We're begging God in that Zemer to the nation that knows you, Yodecha. We're begging God that we should find grace in His eyes, that He should pull strings for us and bestow upon us His kindness. Now God's going to promise that this relationship is not over. Instead, God indeed will bestow His kindness upon us, return to His covenant, and rebuild us. Pasuk Gimel, Od Evneich V'Nivneit B'Tulat Yisrael. Here, Am Yisrael is compared to a maiden, to a betulah. God will rekindle that relationship like a young couple starting over again. I'm going to rebuild you, and you will be built, betulat Yisrael. Od tadi tupayich v'yetzat b'mchom sachakim. Once again, you're going to go out, put on jewelry, play music with bongos or little drums. You'll go out b'mchom, that's dancing in circles, mesachakim, being merry and singing. Simply picture young women dancing at a wedding, being happy and joyous and good times. God's saying a relationship with God will be once again that of the happiness of young people dancing and rejoicing. Once again, you'll return to the land of Israel and you'll plant vineyards in the hills of the Shomron. Not only will the planters be planting the vineyards, means they'll be able to reap the fruit of what they planted. If you call from Sefer Dvarim Perachav, Parshat Shoftim, chapter 20, you can take a look at Pasuk Vav, verse 6, when we have a list of the people who are exempt from going to war, there it says, Umi ha'ish asher nata kerem v'lo chilalo yelech v'yashuv lebeito ben yamut b'melchama v'yishacher yichalalenu. A person who planted a vineyard and didn't yet reap its fruits, he's allowed to go back home, because should he die in war, it's a shame that someone would plant a vineyard and not be able at least to taste the first fruits of his hard labor. This idea of notea kerem and lechaleloto, not to profane it, but rather to reap its harvest. Once again, we see the beautiful connection between Sefer Devarim and Yirmiyahu. And here we're saying, once again, we'll be planting vineyards in the Shomron, and those who plant them will be able to reap those fruits, and they won't need to go to war. Ki yesh yom, the day is coming, karun atzrim b'har Ephraim. The planters of the fields in Har Ephraim, what will they say? Kuma v'nale tzion. Let's get up and go together and make aliyah l'regel to Yerushalayim. El Adonai Eloheinu, to Hashem our God. Some translations translate Notzrim as watchmen, from Lashon Netzor, to guard or to watch, like Netzor Lashon Chamira, but other Parshanim claim it from the Lashon of Netzer, a small little plant. The best example is from Yishayahu, in Perikid Aleph, we saw, V'yatzachoter migezi Yishai, v'netzer mishashav Yifre. A small little plant that begins to grow is called a Netzer. Someone planting those little saplings, they're called Notzrim. And in the context here, it makes more sense. It's talking about people planting and growing crops as opposed to simply watchmen. So again, kish notzrim b'har Ephraim, they're planters, farmers, in Har Ephraim, planting the fields and reaping those fruits. They're going to say, let's go to Yerushalayim and celebrate our happiness and success. Pasuk Vav, kicho amar Adonai, bonu liyakov simcha. Yaakov, Am Yisrael, should sing out with joy. V'tzahalu b'rosh ha'goyim. Let them proclaim and scream out on the top of all the mountains, at the head of all the nations. Hashmiu, halalu v'imru, let their voice be heard. Let them praise and say about God, Hosha Adonai et amcha, et sherit Yisrael. God has saved, has redeemed his people, the remnant of Israel. God's going to describe now why they should sing that and how it will take place. Hinani mevil tam eretz tzafon. God's going to bring them back from the land of the north. Recall in Yirmiyahu, the nation, in the beginning they came to punish them, was the goyim eretz tzafon, referring to the Babylonians coming into Israel from the north, even though Babel was out to the east. But when they enter Israel, they're coming from the Fertile Crescent down from the north. God's going to bring Am Yisrael back from the north. V'kibatzim yarkatei aretz. I'll gather them together from all edges of the earth. And as they come back, it'll be the whole nation together. Bam iver v'piseach. Even someone blind. Even someone who's crippled. Hara v'yoledet yachtav. A pregnant mother. A mother who just gave birth. People who usually would not be able to travel. The type of people that are usually left behind. Even those who have trouble traveling. They will come back, kahal gadol yeshuvahena. A large nation, a mass multitude, will return here, everyone together. A description very similar, once again, to how we left Egypt and came to the desert in the story of our first redemption. Bivchi yavo, when they come and return to the land of Israel and are being redeemed, they'll be crying. It'll be an emotional experience. U'tachnunim ovilim, I'm going to lead them and bring them as they supplicate in Davin. Olichem el nachalamayim, I'm going to bring them back to valleys that are flowing with water. B'derech yashar lo yikashuvam, on a straight path, they won't stumble on their way. Ki hayiti l'Yisrael la'av, I'll be like a father figure to Am Yisrael. V'Ephraim b'chorihu, Ephraim like my first son, God will return to the father-son relationship. When a father is traveling and taking his child and taking care of him, he'll make sure he goes in the right direction, he'll help him through, and make sure that he won't get lost or stumble on the way. Shimudvar Adonai goyim, God now directs the nations to listen to the word of God. V'agidu b'im b'merchak, let all the islands, all the nations around, let them all hear, even nations far away. V'imru, mizareg Yisrael yikabtzeno, the God who dispersed Am Yisrael, mizarotis is spread out, the God who dispersed Am Yisrael, he himself will come and gather them back. Ushmoro kora edro, he'll watch over them and take care of them, like a shepherd takes care of his flock. Why kifada Adonai yatekov, God is coming now to redeem Israel. Ugalo miat chazak mimeno. The pasuk we're all familiar with before we say Shmoneh Esrei. God will redeem them from an enemy even stronger than them. And then, after God takes care of that redemption, uvau v'rinenu b'rom Tzion, they'll come and they'll sing once again in the high places of Tzion, in the high hills of Yerushalayim. V'naharu el tuv Adonai. They're going to flow like a river to the good of God. Remember, we had the same imagery in Yishayahu Perek Bet when he talks about how the other nations will flow to Yerushalayim. The beginning of chapter 2 of Yishayahu, and it's Chazon Acharit HaYamim. So too now Am Yisrael will return to its land. And they'll return to the good of God, the good that God gives them. Al Dagan ve'al Tirosh ve'al Yitzar, the three types of produce which the land of Israel is known for its grain, the Dagan, the Tirosh, grape juice or wine that will come from the grapes. Ve'al Yitzar, on the oil coming from the olive. Ve'al Bnei Tzon ve'Bakar, and also the return for their flocks of their sheep and their cattle. Ve'tanaf Sham ke'gan Raveh, their souls will be satiated like a well-watered garden. No longer they'll be dry and thirsty. Instead, they'll have plenty and they'll have all the water they need. They won't worry anymore about their parnasa, about their well-being, because their economy will now flourish. When that happens, Pasuk Yud-Bet, Az tismach betula b'machol. Then the maiden will be happy again dancing. Uvachorim uskenim yachdav, the young men and the elders together. Vafachti avlam v'sason v'nichamtim. The mourning would turn around, and instead it will become happiness, and I'll comfort them. V'simachtim migonam, I'll make them happy from their sadness. Notice all the imagery of what's called me'evel l'sason, from mourning to happiness, how God's going to turn around a situation in exile where everyone is depressed and down, to one of redemption where everyone is happy again. But that happiness is not simply happiness for the sake of happiness, but happiness because God's people have returned and once again will be his covenantal partner. V'riveti nefesh ha'konim dashen. When the people are making a lot of money and their produce as well, then the konim will also have a lot to eat. So they will also be satiated with the fat of the land. The word dashen here doesn't mean fertilizer. Here it means things that have a lot of fat in them. A similar word would be chelev and deshen. A nice example, in Surat Hazinu, v'chal v'sabah v'dashen, that's too much prosperity, turning to affluence, but someone eats so much that he's eating from the fat of the land, that's referred to as deshen. So therefore, v'veti and nefesh ha'konim deshen, the konim have plenty to eat. There'll be no shortage of food for them even. V'ami et tuvi yisba'u numadunai, and my nation will enjoy all the good, they'll be satiated from all the bounty. Yisba'u is from, like we say in benching, v'chalta v'savata. Someone who's full after eating is called sova. And therefore, v'ami et tuvi yisba'u, God will allow and enable his people to have ample food to eat and prosper. Pasuk Yudalit. Kol mar Adonai, kol brahma nishma. There's two ways to translate this pasuk. Either a voice high up is being heard, or a voice from the city of Ramah is being heard. And that's the question, is Ramah the name of a city, or is Ramah a high place? Yirmiyahu describes Rachel Imenu, who witnessed her children going into exile, has not stopped crying since they've been gone. And therefore, God comforts her now and tells her as follows. Pasuk Tetzav, Kol mar Adonai, mini kolech mi bechi, v'inaich mi dima. Stop crying, Rachel. There's no reason for your eyes to tear anymore. Ki yish sachar lepulatech, num Adonai. You'll have reward for all your hard work, God promises. V'shavu me'aretz oyev. Your children, the people of Israel, are going to return from the land of their enemies. V'yish tikva lachritech, num Adonai. There's hope for your future. In the end, things will come out well, God promises. V'shavu vanim likvulam. Your children will return back to their borders. And now as Am Yisrael is about to return, no longer will Rachel have to cry, but now she can be happy again. In Pasuk Yitzayin, we're going to have once again a conversation between God and Am Yisrael. First, we're going to hear how God hears the cry of Ephraim. Yirmiyahu mentioned before, he calls his firstborn son Ephraim and returns to the imagery of a parent-child relationship between God and his people. Once again, based on Sefer Devarim, Banim Atem LaShem Elokechem. And here he says, Shamo Shamati, Ephraim mitnoded. I hear Ephraim moaning, Yisartani vivaser. I've been punished, I've been chastised. And he recognizes his punishment. Ke'egel ulumad. He compares his punishment by God like a young ox who hasn't learned yet how to plow the field. And the farmer is trying to teach him how to accept the yoke and plow the field. He has to hit him over and over again until he's trained. And that's how Ephraim understood why God punished him so much. It was like an egel ulumad. But now Ephraim recognizes why he's been punished. And then he turns to God and says, Hashiveni vashuva, help me return and I'll return to you. Ki ata Adonai Elohai, you indeed are my God, you're my boss, I accept you now. Now I recognize my mistake, I understand why I've been punished. Now I'm ready to serve you, I'm ready to work for you, let me come back. In Pasuk Yitched, Ephraim continues to express his remorse. Ki achrei shuvi nichamti, now that I've returned and repented, I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. Vachrei hivadi, and now that I'm aware of my sins, I hit my thigh. When someone's angry for what he did, he hits himself with his hand as a sign of remorse. Boshti gam nichamti. I'm disgraced, I'm embarrassed, Ephraim says. Ki nesati chepat norai. I've been carrying the disgrace of my youth, of all the things I've done wrong. Now I'm recognizing all the bad things I've done and how bad I've been in my relationship with God. That's the end of Ephraim's statement of remorse. Now God answers back in the most beautiful way, Haven Yakir Li Ephraim. My dear son Ephraim, God answers back, Im Yelet Shashuim, he's a little child I love to play with. There's a certain joy in playing with a little child and having fun with them. That's how God wants to play again with Am Yisrael. Kimidei Dabribo, whenever I talk about him, Zochores Karen Od, I'll always remember him. I can never forget him. I can't get him out of my mind. Al Kein, Hamu Me'aylo, Rachem Arachmeno, Numadonai. The phrase Hamu Me'ay is very difficult to translate into English. Technically speaking, it means my inner parts of my intestines feel a certain type of upheaval. But when a person cares about something and has intense feeling, his very insides begin to quiver and shudder. So that's a feeling of Hamu Me'ay. Therefore, surely God will have pity, Rachem Arachmeno, Numadonai. Surely God will have pity and mercy upon his nation and bring them back. Now the Navi continues and gives some guidance of how we have to return. Hatzivilach tzionim, make markers on the way to guide your path back to Israel. Similach tamurim, make high posts and signs. Shiti libech lamsila derech halacht, pay attention to the way which you're walking. Shuvi b'tulat Israel, shuvi aurach ele, return the maiden of Israel, return to these cities that I've exiled you from. It's time to come back to your homeland. The word tamur, a tamur is a sign or a marker which is high up. However, I think the reason why the Navi uses the word tamurim, it's a play on words from Kol Brahma Nishma. There, Kol Brahma Nishma, Nihi Bechi Tamurim, there it was a bitter cry. Tamur is from the shoresh of mar, something bitter. A bitter cry, that was Bechi Tamurim. And now, it's Hatzivilach Tzionim, Similach Tamurim. It looks like the same word, but here's a very different meaning from the Lashon of Tomer, from a tall palm tree, which is high up, which people can see from far away, and so the direction of how to go back to the land of Israel. Now in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, God's going to describe this relationship in a very special way. Ad matai titchamakin habata shoviva. Now God is calling Am Yisrael, again a mischievous child. In fact, he's referring to them no longer as a boy, but now as a girl. How long are you going to try and hide from me and not be ready to return? Habata shoviva. Kivara Adonai chadasha ba'aretz. God is now creating something new in the land. Nekeva tesovev gaver. That the female will run after the male. Usually what happens when people get married, it's the man who's chasing after the woman. Here God's describing, in this new situation, where it will be the female trying to court and run after the male. What God seems to be implying here, at this time of return, it's not enough for Am Yisrael to sit back passively and wait for God to do everything for them. Now Am Yisrael has to make a bit of a move themselves, just like in a courtship, in a love relationship. Each side has to show a little bit of interest. Am Yisrael can't sit back and wait and be passive. They also have to try to return and show their willingness to return, like in the Kibat to Sofed Gaver. In Pasuk HaBet, Yirmiyahu will give another description of what things will be like in this time of redemption. Another promise of God describing what things will be like in this time of redemption. When I return my remnant back, and when they return to the land of Yehudah and its cities, once again, people will say to each other the following blessing. Yevrechacha Adonai Neveit Tzedek HaRakodesh. People will be blessing, will make a Mishaberach in sorts, for the city of Yerushalayim, and they will bless upon Yerushalayim, that God should bless this city, Neveit Tzedek, this oasis of righteousness, HaRakodesh, this mountain of holiness. Once again, the lands of Yehudah and its cities will be settled. Ikarim v'nasu be'eder. Farmers will be farming the land, shepherds will be traveling with their sheep, everything will be peaceful and they won't have to worry. Why? Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Kirveti Nefesh Aifa. I've given water again to a very dried out soul. V'chon Nefesh Dava Mileti. Every worried person, every worried soul, I filled them up with all their needs. No longer is Am Yisrael going to be compared to someone who's tired and dried out with nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Rather, they'll be compared to a healthy person with plenty to eat and plenty to drink, and ready now to prosper in the proper manner. This is the end of this beautiful vision of return. And now, because this is a prophetic vision, Yirmiyahu describes how he wakes up from this vision. Azot hekitzoti vere. With this, I woke up and I saw this vision. Ushnati arvali. Yirmiyahu felt so good. He finally had a prophecy of redemption, of something nice. It was such a good feeling. He wanted to continue with this feeling of redemption, that once again, Am Yisrael will be back in its land in this ideal covenantal relationship. Now God promises, God once again is going to plant the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda with seeds of men and also seeds of animals, meaning God will be behind this process, like a farmer plants seeds in the field. God will be planting the seeds of redemption. When we recognize and appreciate our prosperity, we have to understand that God was behind these events. And just like I went out of my way to uproot them and to pull them down and to overthrow them and destroy them and to bring disaster, now, with the same diligence, I'm going to make sure now to build them, to plant them. This is the promise of God. If you take a look back in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud, when God first appoints Yirmiyahu, in the very beginning, God tells him, Re'iv karaticha yom hazeh al ha-goyim v'mamlechot lintosh v'lintotz v'lavid v'laros, and warned them of possible destruction, also livnot v'lintoa, also to build and to replant. Yirmiyahu is so happy now that finally he has a prophecy of rebuilding and redemption, of building and planting once again, and there's no doubt that this pasuk relates back to the opening line when God first appointed Yirmiyahu in Perek Aleph. B'imimahem, at that time, when Am Yisrael returns to its land and our relationship with God is ideal again, lo yamru od avot uchlu boser v'shinei banim tikena. The people won't be saying anymore the slogan, which was very popular in Yehuda before the destruction. This same phrase is quoted in Yechezkel Perek Yudchet, where the Navi is complaining about the people making this statement. Let's try to understand the slogan. Avot uchlu boser v'shinei banim tikena. The fathers ate a bitter fruit, and the teeth of the children spit it out. If you ever tasted a bitter fruit, you took a bite on, let's say, a little grape or some fruit, and you thought it was going to be sweet, but instead it was bitter and sour, so the natural reaction is to spit it out. The people in the time of the Korban, they don't understand why they're being punished. In fact, when Yirmiyahu tells them you're being punished because of the sins of Menashe, and that's why God's bringing all this destruction on you, because of the decree that happened some 50 years back in the time of Menashe, they're answering back, it doesn't make sense. Our fathers ate the bitter fruit, and we're the ones spitting it out? The people understand that it's not fair the way that they're getting punished for the sins of a previous generation. We explained in our study earlier that they're not being punished only for that. They're being punished because they're returning to those ways, and God can no longer have mercy on them because this pattern has repeated itself too many times. But now that when they return, God is hoping that our relationship will be ideal, and no longer will people be punished for the sins of an earlier generation that won't be carrying that weight on them anymore. Instead, God will start a new slate, and people will be punished only for what they do wrong, because we've taken a new start, we've returned, we've suffered enough for what was done wrong, we learned our lesson, and now we can go back to a normal relationship with God. Ki im ish ba'avono yamut. A person will only die for his own sin. Kol ha'adam ha'ochel ha'boser tikena shinav. The person who eats the bitter fruit, his teeth will spit it out. This brings up a very big question as far as God's hashkacha, God's providence, when God punishes people, when he doesn't. But the simplest explanation of this is that when someone does something wrong, God may not punish right away in the hope that that person or that generation will repent. But when God waits generation after generation and the people don't repent, then there may come a generation where they may not be doing anything worse than a previous generation, but God says, I have to punish them because they're not learning a lesson. Now that punishment finally came, and that was the reason why God no longer had mercy on them and brought the exile. But now that that exile is over and we've learned from our mistakes, now there won't be a reason anymore to keep that baggage for previous generations. Now God can begin with a new slate, and people will be punished only for what they do wrong and not have to carry the sins of previous generations. Because of that, God is going to reaffirm his covenant, and now we have a very tricky pasuk, which in light of this will make sense. Pasuk Lamed. Hinei yamim ba'im num Adonai, the time will come, v'charati et beit Yisrael v'et beit Yehuda brit chadasha. I'm going to make with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda a new covenant, a reaffirmed covenant. God's going to reaffirm his covenant with Am Yisrael, something which has happened several times. In the time of Yoshiel, there was a Brit Chadashah. In the time of Chizkiyahu, whenever Am Yisrael returns to God and wants to turn over a new leaf and start a new page, that's called renewing the Brit, like we have in Parshat Nitzavim. But now this Brit, God is hoping, will be different in nature than the Brit that God made with us when we came out of Egypt. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lo chabrit asher karati et avotam biyom hechziki biyadam lehotziyam meretz Mitzrayim. Not like the covenant I made with them, but that covenant was more forced when I was holding their hand coming out of Egypt. Asher hei meifirut briti. Am Yisrael broke that covenant. Vanochi ba'altivam num Adonai. And I, like a master, punished them for breaking that covenant. I made a covenant with them, but that relationship was very strained. It was almost forced upon them. Instead, this brit, coming with proper repentance and proper understanding, kizot ha-brit asher chrot et beit Yisrael achrei ha'imim ha'im num Adonai. This is the covenant I'm going to reestablish with my nation, God's promising, What will I do this time? Natati et torati bikebam. Now my laws, my Torah, will be ingrained in their midst. Ba'alibam echtevena. It will be written on their hearts. It won't be an external relationship, but it will be an internal one. Am Yisrael understand why they're chosen. And their willingness to follow God won't be because of punishment, because of reward, but rather because of identity. Internalized understanding that we're His people and we represent Him. And once again, the phrase of the covenant, Ba'iti lehem lelohim, vehema yuli la'am, I'll be for them, the God, and they'll be for me, the people. And this time, God hopes the relationship will be ideal and right, as He explains in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'lo yilamdu od ishet re'ehu v'ishet achiv le'mor du'et Adonai. To be no longer in need for everyone to rebuke each other, learn and follow God properly, to know God. Ki chulam yidu oti limiktanam v'gdolam l'um Adonai. Everyone will know me, the young and the old, to know God and understand Him properly. Keslach lavonam u'lechatatam lo'etzkor od. Because I will forgive them their previous sins and what they've done wrong in the past, I won't remember back on them again. Meaning, I'm starting a new slate, we can start over again, and hopefully this relationship will be ideal. And notice again, the word Yirmiyahu uses, they'll know God, do it Hashem, they'll know God. To know God, according to Yirmiyahu, we saw many times, was doing Tzedek U'Mishpat, as we saw in Perek Tet, Pasach Chavbet, Chav Gimel, and also in Perek Chavbet, Psukim, Tedvav, Tetzayin, and Yitzayin, where he explained that Ladat et Hashem was understanding what God wants from man, which is doing Tzedek U'Mishpat, and in that manner, they properly represent God. The parak's going to end with one last analogy to this eternal relationship between God and His people. Pasuk Lamed Daled, Ko Amar Adonai, this is the word of God, Noten Shemesh Lor Yomam, Chukot Yerech V'Kochavim Lor Laila, God who put the sun in the sky for daylight, and made the laws of the moon and the stars to give light at night, meaning the way the sun rises and sets, and the way the stars and the moon circle around in the sky with their constellations. Roga Hayam V'Yamugalav, the God who controls the sea, and the sea being quiet, and the sea being high with waves, basically the God of nature, Adonai Tzavot Shemo, the God who made all nature. Im Yamush Rachukim Eila Milfanayim Adonai, if these laws of nature would leave me, God says, Gam Zera Yisrael Yishbotu Miot Goy Lefanay Kol Hayamim. If these laws of nature would stop, so too the seed of Israel would no longer be a nation in front of me, God's saying. He's saying it in the negative. In other words, just like nature will never change, so too my relationship with Am Yisrael will never change. It's built into and becomes part of nature. If it's possible to measure how high the skies are, or if we can measure the depths of the earth, if it was possible to measure the heights of the heavens and the depths of the earth, then so too I could reject the seed of Israel. God again is using, in the negative wording, just like it's impossible to measure how high the skies are and how far the depths of the earth are, just like that can't be measured, so too I would never reject my people, stating again in a different manner how His relationship with Am Yisrael is eternal. After that promise, God talks about how the city of Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. The city of God will be built, referring to Yerushalayim, from the tower of Hananel to the gate, to the corner gate, the measuring rope. When people build a building and a wall, you put a kav, which is a rope to make sure that the wall is straight. So that measuring rope will go ad givat garev v'nasav goata. As they rebuild the wall of the city, it'll expand from these different places. We don't know exactly where these places are. Those interested in archaeology and topography of Yerushalayim, take this parak and try to understand where every place is. V'chol emek ha'pgarim v'adeshen v'chol ha'shdemot ad nachal kidron ad pinat shar susim mizracha kodesh l'Adonai. All these places around Yerushalayim, which used to be places of destruction, now will be places of life, and they'll be special for God. Lo yinatesh v'lo yihares od l'olam. And hopefully no longer will they be destroyed and uprooted. This is God's vision for Am Yisrael's return to Yerushalayim. A very beautiful parak, one that's inspired and given hope to generations in exile, and one that's given guidance and direction for generations of return when the land of Israel is being rebuilt. And hopefully, just as parts of these nevuot have been fulfilled in our own time, hopefully we can continue to fulfill them, and especially we can be inspired from them about how to develop this ideal relationship between God and His people.